Blog Talk Radio.
Irish guy, sounds like New York.
So, tell them about our little trip today to the most Irish part of Boston, where the Erie Pub is in Dorchester, where I grew up. And I took Dennis Murray out there today, took him to the Erie Pub, to the old Dorchester Post, the little bar and back, and we had Tony Petronelli with us. Pat Petronelli's son in New England and North America, I think, also was champion at one time. And he ran into some guy, Dan Conway, that I know as an MMA fighter, you know, guy, but I guess he was also an old school boxer. So, Tony Petronelli and this guy are shooting the shit in the bar downstairs. It's crazy. And I worked for sales in Dorchester when I first started that sales job that I had. And once I turned that corner, it was like, man, everything was so much better. I got so much more luck out of that area. And Dennis was making friends everywhere promoting the event. That's going to be pretty good. We had, I think, 7 or 8 amateur fights, most of them heavyweights. And it's April 24th, Battle of the Bats 2. And it's going to be at the Boston Athletic Club. You go to battleofthebadges.info. It's like it sounds, battleofthebadges.info. And it outlines everything. You can buy tickets. It's going to be a great show. And I just confirmed this week with the family of Anthony Palermo, a guy who was on my boxing team in Norwich. And, you know, it's all official. We're going to do a plaque for him. We don't know where exactly it's going to go yet, but that's going to be part of the event. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have a lot of his friends, family, and, Norwich alumni, fellow Norwich alumni are going to try to show up and get behind this. So it's going to be a good thing all around for the civil service guys who are actually fighting in, to memorialize my buddy there killed in Iraq in 2007. He's actually a pretty good boxer. I mean, he was a little guy. He would have been like welterweight or lightweight even. He's a tough little kid. We'll have his family out there, and they're already getting behind it and marketing it for me on Facebook. So, those to them. We're going to have a big press conference on it tomorrow. So, we'll have some YouTube video up or some pictures at least eventually of that. And we're going to get the ball rolling. This is press conference number 2, and it's a month away. Not even. So I think we're in pretty good shape. We're starting to sell tickets and marketing the thing pretty well. And Bobby will tell us some more about the New York team. That's really all the only hole in the picture right now, because I just talked to the guy doing the New England law enforcement organizing today, the matchmaker for them. Just talked to him a couple hours ago, so I know their score, but we haven't really heard much from the FDNY folks yet, so this will be a good chance tonight to talk to Bobby McGuire and get his take on things. But we have so much to talk about in the world of boxing and MMA before that. I don't know if you checked it out, Tony, but I sent you a link to John Howard's unbelievable knockout. Eyes wide open knockout.
Unfortunately, I had to do a training session, not boxing training, work training session in New Jersey today. So literally, I was out of my house at almost 6 a.m. in the real time, and I didn't get home until about, literally, 8 hours ago. So I was running, I grabbed dinner, so I'm actually just settling in front of my computer now.
Well, by that time, by now, it might even be erased. I don't know how the UFC likes to trample everyone trying to send their video out for free. No, it was like on a side blog somewhere. So there's a chance it still might be invalid, but basically, I mean, he was getting pretty thrown around. Didn't really take any good shots, more rapid punches than anything. But John was kind of taking a little bit of a beating at the beginning of the fight, and then he kind of went for the single leg takedown like you do in wrestling, and crept it in, got to his feet, got the other guy down, picked up the guy and slammed him. And then the other guy's on his back. He just kind of threw his feet off to the side, and he came down with like a real looping, like out from the side and then in, like left hook, as he was jumping down on the guy, and he hit him fucking so good, right on the center of the face, like, you know, with the nose, the side of the nose, he hit him. And it was just a perfect freaking angle. And it just cracked him out cold with the first shot, and the guy's eyes went, instead of, you know, shut and rolled back in his head, they just went, boom, open, wide. But you could tell he was out. Out with his eyes open. And then John hit him with a couple other ones, you know, just to make sure that, you know, he was out. You could tell, you know, looking at it from the camera angle. But, man, he just landed the perfect shot. I've never seen a better MMA knockout. It was just so sudden. So perfect. Like, right on the butt. And the guy went out. So that was a first round knockout. And that's a hometown guy from Boston. So that's like his fourth or fifth straight win in the UFC. That's good. We also had some boxing this past weekend. We have a ton of boxing coming up. Our girl, Felicia West is fighting this weekend. Did you know that? Guess where? You don't have a guess.
Why?
No. K-J-E-L-L-E-R-U-P. Kjellerup, Denmark. She's fighting Anita Christensen, who's 24-1 at bantamweight.
Wow.
And Kalisha is 11-1-1 with two knockouts, and Christensen is 8. And it's a main event. She is the main event. Welterweight fight underneath her, so welterweight, 8-rounder, Christian Blatt, 34-10 versus Gary Young, 18-1. And that's on Friday, tomorrow night, in Denmark. You're over there, Tony. You know, I heard you like to go there from time to time.
Denmark. I have an early morning flight on Saturday, so I don't think I'll be able to make any trip so far then.
Well, you can always watch it on Denmark TV 2 Sport. Find it on the satellite. But other than that, you had mentioned there was a cancellation. The cancellation, I don't know the whole story behind that, but you explain.
Well, I was just reading the other article on it. John is a clusterfuck regarding this prior main event, but a little bit of backstory. We all know this is expected close to the past few years. Steve USS Cunningham, former guest on our show, former object cruiserweight champion at Philadelphia, was actually doing a live broadcast tonight. Final very close decision to come out of that. Trying to get a rebound, didn't happen. And I had a backwards in the heavyweight. And
you killed your
you know?
We are
on a rated show. Yeah, no. Not a back gave us in the heavyweight, so coming in, on the eliminator fight with Wade Brathwaite over the summer. Finally just goes fight with the number two contender, which is Matt Godfrey, trained by our friend Ice Man John Stanley. It was going to happen, I believe the original date was Saturday. And they, for whatever reason, they were going to move the fight from 6 p.m. Friday night fights. Butler's number, when it's a unanimous decision, the players take their gloves off, and Grant walks across the ring to extend his hand. And Butler goes to extend his hand, and all of a sudden, the cell knocks him to the right hand, knocks him when he out cold. And Otis is like, you know, people start flipping out on ESPN because his Grant's fighting there, and then the blood is dripping out of his, like, out of his mouth. Where it's happened that, you know, with their mouthpiece, and, you know, and that the player had his mouth on, it was he lacerated his tongue, so it wasn't a series, his first one. But the whole controversy of it, not only was it a televised show on ESPN, but it was done, well, it's in benefit and tribute to the firefighters and policemen. And this guy, James Butler, is being escorted out of the ring. All the policemen and firefighters are chanting, lock him up. He's got charged with assault. They took him out of the ring in handcuffs.
Awesome.
That's
the worst place to commit a crime on a bunch of cops.
And I don't know if he put any time over that. I'm sure he had fines over there. I have to read up on it. But after that, you know, the man was down on his luck, and next television, he's been on out there. And his brother out in California, Sam, took James Butler in, you know, trying to help him out, you know, trying to help get back on his feet. And he murdered him.
He burned the house down or something, right?
James Butler murdered Max Cummins' brother, Sam. So, it's all about it. It's kind of a close sentence, young man.
I'm going to ask Bobby if he was in attendance that night. What had happened?
Did you hear that story, Rich?
I did hear the story at the end of it. It's funny. It's when Richie started mentioning Max Gallon's brother, and I immediately remembered the story of how his brother got murdered. And that's the only part of the story I had heard, but I hadn't heard the beginning part.
You remember when he sucker punched the guy for the fight?
No, I didn't. I've never heard that.
I'll send it to you like a partner. There's a clip on YouTube about it. Because, I mean, Tony Atlas was even at 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. The other story I'm going to tell you right now is not just a year ago like this. So, as I was saying earlier, I'll be in New Jersey today for a big meeting. And there's my dog, he's at me. So, I'll be in this meeting in New Jersey today. And it was, you know, so our company has a lot of branches in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Maryland area, so our region has been down. And I got to meet the regional manager, first time I met him. You know, he's getting ready to retire, nice guy. First thing he said to me, you know, I don't even know how he got to see him, who I was. He said, oh, you must be Tony. I'm like, yes, sir, nice to meet you. He goes, I'm here to involve in the boxing game. I said, yes, I am. I'm like, yeah, you know, I fought the amateurs, I'm part American, and fought down out of Florida, all kinds of things. I've been a boxing fan since I was 4 years old, and he just starts going crazy about boxing. He's his favorite fighter of our time.
I don't know.
Let me ask you this, Jess.
Tony Pennington.
Oh, okay. Who's his second favorite fighter of all time?
Bernard Hopkins.
So, I'm looking at the fighter as deceased.
Oh, Rocky Marciano.
Yep. If you know, man, if you're talking about Rocky Marciano, you will not believe me.
I was giving out Dennis's free Rocky Marciano's calendars today. He's getting mad. I told him, I gave him this one guy, the Dan Conway guy I was telling you about. We met at the Old Dorchester Post. And I gave him a calendar, and then his buddy takes the calendar and he's looking at it. So I'm like, I bet that guy wants one. So I go to Dennis and I hand him one of the calendars that I brought in and I go, give that to him. And he was like breaking my balls about it. Like, he didn't have 200 of them. He was never going to sell. And he wouldn't give it to him. So I kept fucking saying, give it to him. Give it to him, Dennis. I had to fucking argue with him to get him to give it to him. It was funny. I think he was glad for it.
So, yeah, this guy was going nuts when, you know, I was talking about all those Marciano stories and how, you know, like, you've got to pick up the family and all that, and, he was going nuts over that, and I told him how, you know, they're going to be unveiling a new statue and this year, and, I was invited up to go, which, oh, my God, that's so great, and he was going off, so I gave him a card for the website, told him to check it out, I gave him my YouTube page, told him to check that out. And so we're sitting there in this meeting and we're talking about how we can make bonuses for this company. And this is why we should work on. This is why we should give our it's customer service meetings. It's why we should give our customers a great satisfaction and all this bullshit. And if we get this bonus, and if we get this, bonus at the end of the year, and they said, if you had an extra, say, $500 or $800, what would you buy for yourself? So I wrote on there, I said, I would buy myself a ticket to the more sporting events. And I would, after I did that, I would use the rest of the money to pay off the credit card bill from last month's sporting events that I bought. This guy turns around and he goes, yeah, he goes, well, I made that type of money, you got a bonus? He's the vice president of the company. He's like, I would buy myself some fuck around seats, some boxing, and some cage matches. So often seems like a 60-year-old guy talking to cage fighting.
Yeah, well, some people are getting into it, you know. It's different. I'll tell you, you know, our whole debate about, you know, which is safer and all that, a lot of people are still, like, Fury is still out on that, I say, but a lot of people are back and forth on that all the time, but there's a perfect example of, you know, how bad an MMA injury can be with this last UFC event on Versus this past weekend. There was a guy, Brandon Vera, I believe it was, yeah, Brandon Vera in the main event. John Bones Jones hit him with the bone in the elbow so hard, it broke so many bones in the guy's face. He wasn't even allowed to fly out of Colorado. They would not let him on a plane. That was a significant MMA news story over the weekend. And they actually were very adamant about replaying the smack of the elbow on his skull. So, I mean, I don't know. In hindsight, maybe it was a little overboard to exploit that. But it was pretty sickening. You know, that's the nature of the sport, I guess. You know, you gotta take it. Take what you can get. You know, it was, like, so immediate. He just kind of, after the elbow landed, he just kind of rolled and protected himself and turned his head. Like, pretty much done. He knew it. Like, my face just exploded. The ref called it right after that, and it didn't get ugly. But yeah, it was a vicious elbow. One of the worst I've ever seen. And John Howard did the same thing with his fist. That's MMA for you. There's all kinds of different fans for that, but. Definitely still a lot of boxing fans, especially, so it makes me kind of proud in that little neighborhood of Dorchester that I went around to today. A lot of boxing fans still left. Of course, that's where the McKeon Post is, where they have boxing programs starting as young as 5 years old. Kids have been boxing there for like decades, as far as I know. And that's where I got my first taste of actual formal training. On the edge of Dorchester, between Dorchester and Milton, where one of the cops actually is fighting the Milton Academy. His car. But let's, actually, I'm going to get his number up, so it's going to take me a minute. But let's get Bobby McGuire on here in a minute. There's one big fight. I don't know if it's this weekend. No, it's April 10th. It's the fight with Holyfield and what's his name there? Francois Botha. Yeah. There's another fight, though, this weekend. Eric Morales is fighting this weekend.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how much I'm going to be trying to fight for a living, but the fact of the matter is, it's
well, you know, I'm getting a shot. He's taking some time off to think about it, so I don't think he's ready. Yeah, we've got his number here. Let's have Bobby McGuire. Not to be confused. Bobby.
Yes.
Hey, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron here. How's it going?
Very good. How about yourself?
Good. We also have a Philadelphia guy on the phone here. Tony Pennekow.
Very good, buddy. I'm at the God in New York City going to a final.
And do you have some...
I'm trying to find a quiet place.
Do you have some boxers there that are in the tournament?
No, all my guys are unfortunately out of the tournament at this point. Tonight's the final, 300,000 in the tournament. They have the final tonight, tomorrow night.
And tell me a little bit about the history of the FDNY boxing team.
Well, we've been around since 1982. Originally, we used to just fight the New York City Police Department, which is our big show, but every year that was just made us. Recently, we took the overtime lead against the 14th and 13th. We fight pretty much maybe 6 out of last year throughout the country. Generally, for charity, and our motto pretty much is we'll fight anyone, anywhere for a good cause.
Awesome. And who are the best guys that you got right now? Who's got the most promise to you?
Well, I got a guy, Mikey Reno. He's probably my most recent fighter. He kind of fights. I got a couple of new upcoming guys. I have a guy, Johnny Trey, of Jake Cordell right now. He's about 220 pounds and pretty mobile, can move a lot of speed. Still nice jam in the right hand. I also have another fellow, John Phillips, also about 420 pounds, who wants to box as well.
And how did you get into boxing yourself?
I used to fight for the fire department team back in 81, 82 when we started up. And I took it up as a kid. There was a couple of co-fighters in my neighborhood that we all looked up to. One guy was Bill Sharkey, who fought for a heavyweight title at one point. But, we all looked up to these guys and see what they were doing their real work. And a whole group of the neighborhood followed them. In fact, one of our guys, also one of the other five, David Spears, he fought Michael Spinks for the light heavyweight title. I'm guessing it was back in, 1845, that area.
Awesome.
Yeah, when you said that name, I did recognize his name. Not our time, not that Mike speaks to the top of his games, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Michael was never beaten in point anyway.
Right.
He
was
stepped
up in the
heavyweight class. So,
I'm friendly,
you know,
shame a little
bit
at that guy, this caliber. No, absolutely not. I mean, still regard, Mike Spence is one of the best playing heavyweights ever, you know, step in the ring. So,
he had a right hand, he just called Stinks Jinx. Boy, if you got hit with that right hand, you'll go
asleep. I'm going to tell you something funny, Bobby. I took my dog to a fight card a couple years ago. We get a lot of tournament fight cards. Philadelphia sometimes, Atlantic City, the Horizon, and even other venues we go to. Well, a couple years ago, it was right around Father's Day, and I almost came down to dad. I said, we used to sit up in the balcony when you could get good seats. But it's a dad. Two friends on the card, I said, I want to get in front row. And I brought my dad from our seat to Father's Day. We get to our seat, and there's someone sitting in my seat. It was Michael Spinks. And I turned to my dad, I'm like, how do I kick the former light heavyweight, former heavyweight champion of the world? And my dad's like, how do you beat him like Tyson did?
Well, Spinks is a very, very nice guy.
I ended up moving down a couple seats and I was sitting next to Tex Cobb. And, you know, what am I going to do? Well, just by luck, the second fight of the night was two females. And the one girl gets hit hard in the neutral corner and her mouthpiece comes out. And literally lands in Michael Spinks' lap. I said, see, that's what he took for swinging my feet.
Absolutely. That's a funny story. I'll never forget the picture of Michael Spinks on the front page of the New York Daily News. When his eyes opened and he was laid unconscious, he had to fight Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Bobby, I wanted to ask you a question. I mentioned this to Rich before we got you on the line. And Rich told us you have been with the Beard Fire Department for a number of years. And there was one fight card. It was back in 2001. It was a tribute to a police officer and firefighters that served at 9/11. And it was a fight that had a very controversial episode with it. It was a fighter by the name of James, the Hall of Hammer Butler, and he sucker punched the fighter after the fight was over and he lost. Were you at that card?
No, I don't believe I was. The first thing I remember coming to my house, but I don't think I was at that card. You know, that was a crazy guy, the wall was fired to fight it, that beat up here. And, you know, I spent almost 8 months down at Ground Zero. I had, actually, a nephew of mine was killed that day. He, it was the very first fire. He told me a fire in the 6 weeks.
Oh, and wow.
That was his first fire. And I pretty much dedicated myself to finding his body, which I did, but not until January of 2002. So we were down in pretty much full time at that point, boxing, serving for the boxing thing, you know.
That's definitely understandable. And, you know, I know, you know, being able to reach myself, you would have to offer our condolences on that. I know that had to be a very tough situation.
You know what? We lost 343 guys that day, you know. It was quite a shock. We lost 3 members of the boxing team that day off. You know, so it was everyone on the job lost friends, family, you know, someone very close to them, you know.
Yeah, we'd actually, we'd like to learn a little bit more about those three boxing team members and say a little piece about them before the event and give tribute to those guys, because I know there's a guy who went to Iraq and he was on my boxing team at Norwich University, and he got killed by an IED in Iraq, and I'm going to be working to do a plaque in his honor in coordination with this. And it just turned out he's from Brockton, so.
Okay, that's fantastic. We have a couple of young street firefighters that were also, you know, lost their lives in Iraq.
Yeah.
So I guess, again, it's another common thread, you know.
Yeah, so anything we can do to memorialize those guys and, you know, anybody who made the ultimate sacrifice, that's, you know, something I think would be very important to, you know, do, and especially in front of so many guys that are, you know, off-duty or, you know, associated with the civil service or the armed forces or whatever. I mean, I'm going to get a lot of guys from Norwich University, actually, military school up in Vermont where I graduated from, so. Hopefully it'll be a real good night where you know, the whole civil service sector gets represented in a good way. And I actually went to New York myself for the first time Thanksgiving weekend after September 11th. So we, you know, I got a good look at the whole recovery effort and everything like that. And, you know, the whole area. And, really tried to.
There was still fire burning down at that point.
Yeah, you could still.
Low ground. I mean, it went almost into early in January before they even extinguished all fires, you know. It was quite a mess. And a day, I'm sure, no one's lucky able to get.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the reason I was asking you about that particular fight was it was on ESPN 2, that I saw. And they really hyped it up. You know, this is the new players. They contribute to a lot of the members of the, you know, the New York Fire Department, the New York Police Department. Just, you know, that it was paying respect. And, you know, rather than these guys will get the free tickets and just go away and escape, you know, because a lot of guys have been working around the block. And, the fight, you know, it wasn't a great fight. But so the favorite fighter was this guy, James Butler. And he only had, I believe, one loss on his record. It was a guy that was a 500 fighter by the name of Richard Grant. They're fighting together. No reason to believe that Grant should cause any much of a problem, but he just did it. Some guy has other guys' numbers. Grant had a Butler's number, and he just outworked him, and he beat him up to the decision. And the fighters took themselves up, they took him out, he stabbed the decision against the house, and Grant walked across the ring and extended his hand. And Butler, when he talked off and his hand still came, just pulled us off and drilled him. And, I mean, Grant went down, and And when I was telling Rich, a lot of people were, you know, scared when he went down because there was no glove on, didn't have his mouthpiece, and he wasn't, you know, prepared for the shot. And it looked like he was convulsing on the ground, and blood was coming out of his mouth. Well, thankfully, it was only his lacerated in his tongue. But as Butler was being taken from the ring in handcuffs, the police officers and the fire firefighters that were there, you know, that were being, you know, in their honor, were screaming for them to lock this guy up. And they did. They took him literally from the ring down to the police station and charged him with assault.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
a great deserve it, but
I
like that.
I'm actually looking online right now to see if he ever pulled an answer to that. To my knowledge, he may have only caught once, but his career was pretty much in the toilet after that. And then I'll get fired. Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. Down on the block, and the brother of Max Kellerman, he is yelling about the operating analysis. His brother took this guy into California. The guy thanked him by murdering him.
Wow. Yeah, Max is on the ESPN radio show down in New York. They're very successful. Does a nice job. Very knowledgeable boxing. Anytime you know his name on HBO,
yeah, he's pretty good. I like him a lot more than Jim Langley, that's for sure.
Colorado's no joke.
you're in Colorado Springs. I mean, you're up in the mountains. You're right next to a mountain on campus there. So they were ones that got me in shape to begin with. But, you know what?
Well, my brother always tells the story that when he was at Annapolis playing football, and Roger Staubach was probably the most well-known player ever to come out of there.
Right.
And he was a quarterback, and they played. My brother was like third string halfback. After a flow of injuries, finally got some time against Notre Dame. He said, "Well, only reason is having a stink mark on his back."
We actually, Air Force Academy actually upset Notre Dame one year, and they actually had to bring in lights for the game because it was the only night game that they had had at the stadium down there. Football is actually much bigger out west than it is around here, especially at the college level. And there was like seas of campers and everything for that there for that game. We had a kicker, a barefoot kicker, who kicked a winning field goal. He was wearing like glasses at the time. It was kind of funny, but the boxing is it's always been very competitive every year between not only military schools but Tony's school actually won a few years ago, right, Tony?
Well, Lockheed, less than 4,000 students, well, they upset them all. They upset, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Reno, Penn State, they beat them all back in 2007. And what happened, I went up there this year to serve as a tech coach for a day. When I went there last year, and Bobby, I'm like, you know, when guys are getting ready to fight, you have to have that certain mentality. You got to be ready to go. I know back when I was playing, you could talk to me for a couple hours. I would get my hyper phase, then I would get my focus phase, and then I would kind of mold them together, and then I'd be ready to play. And when I went to their show last year, Lockhaven, I saw these guys, they're getting ready to fight, they got the gloves on and all, and they're laughing with each other, and they're spot fighting with each other, but you guys don't need to get ready to fight. And most of the guys in that show, they're the only shooters that can get on campus all year for all their friends. Get the butt kicked. I said, I can't tolerate this. Then I heard, no regional champion, no national champion. I said, this is from the school that won the national title just 2 years prior. And then this year when I was talking to a few people, like, yeah, the Lockheed team struggling. Well, I had a few weeks before I was starting to go back to work and start my new job. I said, all right, I played the call with one assistant coach. I said, when can I come off? I said, it's only 2.5 hour drive. I said, let's go up there for a day. And two of the kids that I really got to work with, the red freshmen, they turned it around, and I saw them a few weeks later, and they were doing things that I told them to do. But there was another kid up there, and this girl of me aggravated me, you know, as a fighter, as a coach, as a fan. And he was getting ready, and he hit the bag, maybe for 20 seconds. Then he would stop, grab the bag, and then he would stop, he'd drop his hands to his side, kind of bend over and start, you know, sucking air. I said, stop, listen to me here. I said, first of all, that bag is swinging towards you, don't catch him. I said, if an opponent's charging, you're going to open up your arms and try to catch him, it's going to blast in the mouth. And so, that round is 3 minutes. You would have worked for 3 minutes when I'm training them. Also, because that's what I do. I said, I have trainers that busted my ass because they tried to deliver the motivation. So they busted my ass. And I said, if I got you for 3 minutes, you're giving me 3 minutes. I said, if you're tired, don't show me. I said, faith, maybe it looks like you're about to attack me, but use that time to keep me in base so you can suck air. Fire punch in the door. They weren't hurting. stuff only come to mind because I used to keep this defective. And when I got a combination, he actually went down to his knees. Even he can, he got back up and he kept firing out again. Punching the bunch, everything he had. And after about 30 or 40 some seconds, he pulled off, dropped his arms, and started gasping. And I smiled at him, and I wanted him to see me smile, because I wanted him to know that I knew that he was out of gas, and he still had 20 to go. And how he ever made the distance, I don't know, because I put him down in about every frame. And as soon as he would go down, the bell would ring. I was like, you've got to be shitting me. And so I was covering him. I think they were trying to pat it through the door down there. That was around 11 to 20 seconds. And as soon as we hit the canvas, they would ring the bell.
Anyway, Bobby, could you tell us a little bit about some of these fighters that are going to be on the card up here?
Yeah, well, we got a couple of new guys. We got Brian Nicholas. He's a 175 pounder. This is only going to be Brian's second fight. So he's pretty new to the game. We also have a guy, Richie Daya, who's having his first fight. He's a heavyweight. The master class, which is over 35. We got the two super heavyweights I mentioned earlier, John Drea, who was 2-0, and John Phillips, who is 1-1, I believe. Who else we got coming up here? We have another kid by the name of Edgar Reyes, who is I think he's going to be, I think he's fighting for his defense time. He was in the Europe Golden Globe this year. He went to the quarterfinals. We pretty much matched him up according to experience. I think all the matches are going to be pretty fair. And like I said earlier, it's going to boil down to the better position guy in the most cases.
Well, it's definitely going to be a nice rivalry. I'm hoping that there'll be a 3, 4, 5, and so on.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to having the guys down here next time. And let them enjoy New York City, and we're going to enjoy the walk up there.
Yeah, it's going to be in South Boston, which the most notorious criminal from the Boston area is from. Well, that's loosely based on Whitey. There's a lot that's in fact is stranger than fiction in his case. My dad was actually a cop for 20 years up here, and his first duty was working as an undercover detective, and he ended up investigating Whitey back in the day, following him around. They got a bug in his car, one of the only people to ever do that. They had a whole investigation going, but they had no idea it was an FBI informant at the same time. So just fact is stranger than fiction. That's what life has taught me. That's just an amazing, amazing story. And it still has been a good movie written about it that really portrays the whole thing so deep and so complicated. I'm looking forward to this event. I know that we're going to try to do a lot for this crash program. And I know it's from experience the scientific social solutions. I don't know how exactly you're supposed to put that order in place. I always screw it up. But it's a great charity. I know all the people involved. I do all their website work. So I know firsthand that they've got the right idea. They've got a lot of support from district attorneys everywhere. It sounds like a very fascinating program. I mean, basically, they bring a little episode of CSI to the classroom. They teach kids how to reenact and reconstruct an accident scene with actual case files. So, this is not just playtime. This is looking at a real case. And it really gets them in the mode of being a forensic examiner of the whole thing. And it also shocks them. Shocks their conscience enough to make them think about, drunk driving and the sort of thing that makes those accidents happen. So I think it's going to be a good project overall. And it's, one of those type of charities that we could definitely do multiple events for and get a lot of good exposure for.
Well, we're part of this. important to them, and being the firebombing, company was Wildcard.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I mean, it's great to have the guys, you know, get an outlet as well, just to do the sports and the boxing kind of thing in general. But, you know, then to get to travel and have this kind of rivalry between the Boston guys, I think is great. You can't have a better rivalry. I mean, there's no better rivalry in sports.
No, there's not. I hope we have the same success as the Yankees and last season.
You know, I was thinking for a while that, you know, the whole thing that drove the whole Boston, you know, first time in 86 years or whatever, getting their first ring forever, was the curse is reversed, you know. So I was thinking all those years that the Yankees didn't win after that, maybe the curse did get reversed. Lucky for you guys. You won one and proved that wrong, but it was a while, as it is. You know what really struck me was it happened right after Ted Williams died. I don't know if you noticed that, but the Red Sox got their title right after Ted Williams died. You know, Babe Ruth wasn't having a long time by himself.
Well, I don't know if there's any reason with a freezing
head. Oh yeah, I heard about that. That was rough. Anyway, yeah, I can't wait.
It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'm looking forward to coming up. Hope to see you again before the fight. We have a couple of big
announcements
up here to be gone, so
we're going to
come back inside if you don't mind.
All right, yeah. Definitely keep us posted and send us any kind of information you can on any of the guys that you want on the blog there, especially with relation to those guys that were lost on 9/11. I really want to do like a nice blog about everybody that we can in law enforcement and like my friend there in the military and then obviously for you guys, so. Then we can make it like,
I'll shoot you an email with all that information.
All right. We can really make it official. I'm looking forward to meeting you, and have a good time there at the finals.
Okay, thanks, Shelby. Good luck to you. Okay, thanks so much, Shelby. I look forward to meeting you.
All right, talk to
you
then.
Thank you, guys.
So there you go. You kept us right to a half an hour. Nice job. That was very structured of him, being the firefighter, the coach, gave us a 30-minute session. Good interview. He's definitely sounds like a guy that knows his stuff, and sounds like he's got a good team there. That one guy he was talking about said he already won the Golden Gloves there. Sounds pretty good. But mostly it's like heavyweight, so. Definitely going to be a couple of knockouts, I think. We'll
see.
But we do have a lot of boxing, a lot of MMA fights coming up to talk about. Now that we got that out of the way, just one last little flare-up about it. I'll tell you the battleofthebadges.info. Battleofthebadges.info is where you get the information about this and get tickets. We got a whole lot of sponsors now. BarefootWine.com, Ryan Wood Distilleries, Boston Salads, Eats and Watson. They're all providing food and beverages and all that stuff in support of the event. The Ramada Inn there is giving us an $89 minute special for anyone that's going to be coming up and staying there. And then we got an after party at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. That's
right.
It'll be a pretty nice place. It's at the Boston Athletic Club, April 24th, the event. It's going to be a benefit of scientificsocialsolutions.org. It also works the other way that I like to pronounce it, socialscientificsolutions.org. They anticipated that little switcheroo that people would make. And they're going to be redoing that site, so even though it doesn't right now point to battleofthebadges.info site. You know, we just got to RSS point redesign. So that'll be coming later. Anyway, we got tons of little boxing matches here to mention. We didn't have a mismatch of the week. Not quite a mismatch of the week. As much as the past mismatches of the week. Demetrius Hopkins related to Bernard.
next year.
Well, he's fighting main events in California. The TKO Boxing Promotions tonight, actually. He's 28-1-1, 11 knockouts at welterweight. And he's fighting for the WBC US NBC welterweight title. Fighting Jesse Feliciano. He's 15-8, 3 draws. And everybody else on the card is fighting a 4-rounder. Nothing really standing out. No superstars. Here it is. Here's the mismatch of the week. We have a light middleweight fight from France between Christophe Canclo, who's 40-3, 25 knockouts. He's fighting Janos Varga, who's 6-1, 5 knockouts. He's that good. Let's see, he has 1 losses. Just slow thinking. He's the one lost to. A guy who was 10-0. Manuli Blandamira. Lost to him in Italy by TKO in round 5. He's 10-0. He has beaten very formidable Gabor Balog. He was 2-56. 5-0. Knockout. Round 14. TKO 1 out of 4 rounds. He's never fought past 6 rounds, this guy. He's fought, he's a guy who was 0-22. He's not a guy who's fight debut. He's not a guy who's 0-1. The most wins anybody has ever had, he beat 2. Definitely the mismatch of the century right there. One guy with any talent faced. That was in Italy. 2 matches, 3 matches in Slovakia, 2 in Hungary. Now he's going to Frankie. That's weak. Good luck, buddy. Put it on. Put it on that guy. And he'll get it. It fixes it. Alright, now we go to, down to South Africa. Would you believe there's London, South Africa? Excuse me for a second. We got a huge fight. Minimum weight fight. Raul Garcia, 27-0. 1 draw, 16 knockouts. This is for the IBF minimum weight title. And if you didn't know it existed, it's because it's so light you can't see it. And his opponent, Raul's, is going to be Nico. I don't know how you pronounce the N and the K together. Nicosia. Nicosia not me. That's tough. Joy E. He's 20-0. 15 knockouts. So somebody's always going. Gone. Here's another case after mismatch of the week. We got a 6-rounder between Michael Schultz. He's 14-1. Versus Goodman Daiwili. Who's 0-1. That's very nice of them to put it in such stiff competition. The other guy who's 7-0 is fighting a guy who's having his fight debut. This is all over South Africa. Good luck, folks. Other than that, we have some stuff going on in the United Kingdom. For real, in London. This is in Essex. We have a light middleweight fight between Anthony Small and Sam Webb. Both of them have 1 loss. Small has 23 wins, 16 knockouts. Webb has 15 wins, 4 knockouts. That's for the BBC British light middleweight title. We also have Matthew Hatton on that card. Welterweight fight with Gianluca Bronco. Very formidable and evenly matched opponent.
Bronco.
And Broncos 43-2, 1 draw, 22 knockouts.
horses or two.
Okay.
Donkey and Calcutta.
In Hatton's 38-4 with two draws, 50 knockouts. There's a title on the line. The vacant EBU will take it out. So we'll see if Matthew Hatton can get his rear end on there in the back of the game. But here's the female fight of the week. It's going on tomorrow. All those past ones are all Friday. Not the one we mentioned already. That might be a little bit of a tough one. I don't know if that's the fight of the week. But this one is very evenly matched, probably the best female fight that's been made in a while. We've got Holly Holm out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at like welterweight. It's the main event. Three female fights made in the card. But she's the main event, Holly Holm. She's 26-1 with three draws, seven knockouts. She's fighting Chevelle Halbach. 27-5, two draws and 11 knockouts. I've actually interviewed Chevelle. You might have had a Chevelle in your time. Halbach. I think I interviewed her way back when I was just a MySpace page and she was starting out. I'm pretty sure I did. But she's built quite an impressive record. She's fought a lot of tough girls. She's lost to Holly once before, so this is a rematch. It was a unanimous decision the last time by almost 10 points on every card, but that was back in 2007, so this is our chance to get revenge. So we'll see. Seems like a good matchup, though. I'm sure they're both becoming a fight. Victoria Cisneros versus Terry Blair, also on the fight. And then you go down to Chicago, and Nancy's back in action at heavyweight. Guys, Tyson, Mike Mallo.
Where you both go out of?
19-3, 12 knockouts, fighting Billy Zumper, 23-11, with one draw and 13 knockouts. That's in Chicago on Friday. Canada on Saturday for the first Saturday fight. In Ontario, we have Steve Molitor, the Canadian kid, 31-1 with 12 knockouts versus Takalani Dolo, 35-18 knockouts. And also Renoir's Sosa, 11-0 with 5 knockouts versus Ivan Hotchkick, which is 11-0 with 5 knockouts. Exact same records, the Canadian heavyweight title. The Mahler fight is for the vacant IBF super heavyweight title. Then, also, they're going to have Lisa Brown versus Anna Juliton for the vacant IBF super heavyweight title. So, this is 16-4, three draws, five knockouts. Juliton, 6-1. Then, I think we have the fight of the week here, and unfortunately it's in Germany, not on pay-per-view. Fight of the week here is for the WBA World Featherweight title, and somebody's owed has got to go, and it's between Zoriokis and Boa, 12-rounder featherweight, 17-0 and 15 knockouts, and Jonathan Victor Barros, 28-0, one draw. WBA World Featherweight title. It's going to be in Germany.
I don't know much about the sports of that old fight, but that was a good game. And he saw what you did to my friend Roger Matagua on two rounds. I mean, Roger's still a jab, and Gambo landed five counterpunches before Matagua can get his hand back up. Will ever derail him. If the time gets very aggressive and he keeps himself wide open, and I don't know how good his chin is. He's a dad at the time, but someone's got up. Absolutely, of course, the guy is for that.
This is surprising to me. I mean, I know the guy's good, but this is a huge test to go against a guy with that many wins, undefeated, and,
Well, a lot of it depends on how the guy's fought, too.
I mean, but usually when a guy who's undefeated like Gamboa, who's less than 20 fights, you know, when he faces somebody in the usual process of things, it's usually a guy who's got 20, like, maybe 10 losses and something less than 10, you know, but I've never seen somebody get pushed along this far or this soon. Usually guys 28 and over. I mean, I've definitely heard of Barros before. I mean, he's not a little slouch. 16 knockouts, too. That's pretty decent for a featherweight. From Argentina. So I guess, you know, he's fought a lot in Argentina. Uruguay. Maybe right there. Where you're going to be in a super, super crazy, repeat. But he beat a guy who was 74-45-5. On the vacant WBO Latino featherweight title in 2008. Beat the same guy 2 years before that. My decision. 6 rounds. So he hasn't fought any world beaters. Maybe it will be, maybe it is more on paper. Looks better on paper than in real life. But also on that card, we have a couple of good heavyweight fights. Excellent. All right. Dennis Bokhtov, 32-5, with 21 knockouts, fighting Stefan Kravchenko, 14-1, 13 knockouts for the PABA heavyweight title. And then also heavyweight Juan Carlos Gomez, 44-2, 35 knockouts, fighting Alexei Mazakin, 13-4-2. That goes for that car, and then we go back to North America here. The next fight worth mentioning, we have, of course, mentioned it earlier a little bit, I think, Eric Morales versus Jose Alfaro. And Morales is 48-6 with 34 knockouts, fighting at welterweight now. Alfaro is 23-5 with 20 knockouts. And has had a couple losses recently, in his last 5 fights, so. But Morales only had 1 win. We'll see.
That's his only 1 win, but a couple bad losses.
Also a nice.
But you know, always say that he has a win over Manny Pacquiao.
True. That's what is the billing for that whole card is all built around. But anyway, there's a couple other fights worth mentioning. We got a light heavyweight fight between Chris Henry, 24-2 with 19 knockouts. Hugo Hernan Pereira, 32-4 with 17 knockouts. And then we have David Rodriguez at heavyweight, 32-0 versus Daniel Bispo, 22-12. 32-0, 30 knockouts, David Rodriguez has. Anyway, there's also another guy who's undefeated at super featherweight, Alejandro Sanabria, who's 23-0 with 18 knockouts. They don't know who he's fighting here, but he's on the card. And, let's see. What does it mean that one? What else? David Rodriguez, let's see, his last fight, knocked the guy out, was 32-10. There we go. A huge fight, yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good breaker. We also have the, of course, the Super 6 tournament. This week, I totally forgot about that. And then, Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan. We have the Super Middleweight Contest leading up Dr. Ibrahim, 31-0, 25 knockouts, versus Andre Drell, 18-1, 13 knockouts.
At that point, Drell's really going to have to box effectively. I think he's a big focus on the culture. And, I mean,
the only thing that Abraham could learn was playing in Detroit, which is a real hotel. Meet Michigan Juggies and Michigan Referee. And we weren't too happy about that. And I didn't really understand why, because there was a lot of things like that in Michigan. But the bottom goal of ESPN 2 when the commissioner didn't know the difference between split decision and a majority decision, because he was on the field.
Well, we can't leave Vegas out of the picture either. We got a fight in Vegas going on. We got Marcos, Rene, and Maidana, 27-1, 26 knockouts, fight welterweight. This is at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, by the way. Maidana is fighting Victor Manuel Keo. He's 24-0, 16 knockouts. And Maidana? This is for the WBA World Light Welterweight title. Interim WBA World Light Welterweight title. Also on that card, lightweight fight between Joan Guzman, 29-0, 17 knockouts, and Ali Mika, 25 knockouts, 3 draws. That's for the IBF lightweight title, which is vacant. I told you not to leave that IBF. Super middleweight fight also on that card is pretty interesting. Daniel Jacobs, 18-0 with 15 knockouts versus Jose Miguel Rodriguez Berrio, 20-4 with 12 knockouts. Did you know Hagler's fighting this weekend? Sammy Hagler? Did you know that Hagler's fighting in Indonesia this weekend?
Which
Hagler
was this
week? Sammy Hagler? He's 1-0. Sammy Hagler. Yeah, that about does it for the boxing. I stopped myself there. We have, must be another fight of the century going on. David Tua is involved. Wednesday in Auckland, New Zealand, for the next show, we have another good fight between David Tua, 53 with 43 knockouts, and Friday, Nadia, 24-5 with 3 draws. 13 knockouts. And this is for the WBO Asia Pacific Heavyweight title. Here. And it's in New Zealand. Okay. But that's the main event. There's also another 8-rounder between Daniel Tai, 17-7, with 6 knockouts, 2 draws, and Israel Carlos Garcia, who's 19-3, 11 knockouts. But there you go. Does it for the boxing week there until Thursday. Next Thursday. We have some mixed martial arts, of course, that will coming up. And I get to chat too much about the whole UFC card. Of course, there is a main event, John Bones Jones and Brandon Vera. Jones obviously did some damage. Guy couldn't fly out of town. He was stuck in Broomfield, Colorado for the duration of the hip fracture. I don't know if you've ever heard of that happening in Boston, boxing, getting beaten so bad he can't fly.
No, I haven't, to be honest. I mean, I've heard of it in other sports, like hockey, or a big football player got hit and had a collapsed ball. But they were boxing.
That's what happened to Brandon Beer. His head, his wig split, as they say. There were some other good fights on that card. The first fight on Versus, which I didn't notice any special, spectacular thing that Versus did any different than any other channel has ever covered it. But that's an was great to see that kind of caliber of fights on free live TV, of course. But we also actually we have another UFC event coming up this weekend, so they're kind of really spoiling us, this UFC here. But this one out in Brookfield, Colorado, of course, we mentioned John Howard got the KTFO of the night. Other than Brandon Vera getting the skull fracture. Both of those were in round one. Also, Gabriel Gonzaga got knocked out by Junior Dos Santos in round one. It wasn't very pretty. And Gabriel's another guy from around here that I root for. That wasn't good. But actually, I think the fight of the night was Paul Buentello versus Chick Congo. And it wasn't because Buentello was any great fighter or anything, it was because he just kept fighting. But even when he shouldn't, he got thrown around like a rag doll for his size. And, you know, Chick Congo, I've never thought of anything special. It doesn't really impose on people. But, you know, he was hitting Buentello with everything he could think of. Buentello just kept coming at him. He finally tapped due to strikes in the third round. But he actually had his, at one point, he had his pinky dislocated, Tony. And the freaking the doctor and the ref are all like coming around and ready to call the fight. And he goes, pop it back in, pop it back in. And so they pop it back in and he kept fighting. Unbelievable. And he was throwing some bombs. He kept connecting every now and then. It wasn't very, you know, too exciting except for the fact that he was just such a trooper. You know, he hung in there so long. And it was pretty good to see. But he had and another time where they stopped it because it was a legal blow, I think an elbow landed the wrong way. So he got a couple chances to recover. And he went into the third round and they tapped his strikes. Also, Alessio Sakara, TKO James Irvin, Clay Guida, Sabina Chan, there was a decision, Vladimir Machishenko, Elliot Marshall by decision. Darren Elkins beat Dwayne Ludwig by TKO, and John Howard, like I said, beat Daniel Roberts, which is a guy he beat with his eyes open, his eyes wide open. Brendan Schaub was on that card for the Ultimate Fighter. He beat Chase Gormley by TKO. Mike Pierce fought Julio Paulino, won by unanimous decision, and Jason Brill beat Eric Schaefer by unanimous decision. The event this weekend, UFC 111, which is actually funny enough, the number of my secret society in Norwich that we call the Flock of Seagulls. Our number was 111. Every secret society had a freaking number for some reason. That's just 111. This is UFC 111. We have GSP. George St. Pierre, the number one welterweight, versus the number two pound for pound, Dan Hardy, he's the number four welterweight. Oh no, St. Pierre is number two pound for pound, I guess. According to Sherdog, anyway. And he's fighting Dan Hardy, a real tough British guy. We'll see. They both like to talk smack. And Dan Hardy, really upset the one guy he fought last. Few years, I remember hearing a story about one card he was on. He really upset the other guy so bad. He wanted to just destroy him. He took it so personally, but he got into the guy's head because the guy lost. He couldn't take it to him. Like he said, he was down. But I guess he's just hard guy, but real vicious. Fight hype. But the fight that might steal the show here is heavyweight Frank Mir versus Shane Carwin. For, I guess what's going to be the interim UFC Heavyweight Championship. And the main events for the Welterweight Championship, of course. Also on the card, we have some other welterweights. John Fitch, Ben Saunders. We got Jim Miller versus Mark Bocek. Kurt Pellegrino versus Fabricio Camoz. Ricardo Almeida versus Matt Brown. Nate Diaz versus Rory Markham. Rodney Wallace versus Jared Hammond.
Usama Paul Harris versus Thomas Drywall, and Matt Riddle versus Grim Sorrell. We have it for other fights. We have a Strikeforce event tomorrow night in Fresno. We get some PR on the website on that. We have a fight going on in Oxnard, California. Evolution in MMA. That's also on Friday. Saturday, we have a bunch of events all over the world, of course. Queensland, Australia has Rise MMA 4. We have the Truck Scene, London, England, United Kingdom. Adrenaline Rush on Saturday. That's Ultimate Challenge MMA. We have WFC 10 Night of Champions in Slovenia. It's first night. Shogun Fights 2 in Maryland at the First Mariner Arena in Baltimore. We have Brussels Fight Night, the beginning in Brussels, Belgium, also on Saturday. Freestyle Cage Fighting 40 going on in Shawnee, Oklahoma, at the Fire Lake Grand Casino. Streaming live on SureDog.com is in Western Europe Round 2 and 1 Selection in 2010. On Saturday, Seconds Out is going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota with Havoc at the Hyatt. The Hyatt Ballroom, Clark versus the Z in the main event. And then, of course, we have the Jokin Sunday fights. Osaka, Japan is one. Border 4 Wave Shudo is putting that on. The Hirano War Community Hall. And then we have Hell Cage 5 on Sunday in Arena Sparta, Prague, Czech Republic. And then, as if we haven't had enough UFC for free, we have another one on the 31st for the next show, UFC Fight Night 21 from the Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's just take a gander if you're going to be participating in that. Let's see, we have Kenny Florian, another local guy, versus Takanori Komi. Kenny's boxing, anything like it was last time, it would be fine. Roy Nelson, back in action, the Ultimate Fighter, fighting Stefan Struve. Big country, big Mackie, Roy Nelson. I think he came with a Nate Corey versus Jorge Rivera is on that card. Ross Pearson versus Dennis Seaver. Andre Winner versus Rafaelo Oliveira. Robert Emerson versus Nick Lentz. Yushin Okami versus Lucio Linhares. Kyle Lemieux versus Gleason Tebow, Jacob Goldman versus Ronis Torres, Charlie Brenneman versus Jason High, and Gerald Harris versus Mario Miranda. So it seems like a lot of these guys are mostly Ultimate Fighter alumni. And they threw in a lot of old leaguers, I guess you could call them, people from different leagues that came over to the UFC. It's like they don't want to have their original fight on free TV. Spare parts from other leagues on this card. Almost everybody fits that description. On Japan, of course, you got Takanori and Yushin. Those are pretty good fight names, huh?
Yeah.
Takanori. Yushin Okami. Sounds like a video game character's name, doesn't it? Yushin Okami. Alright, so that's it for the fight schedule. I don't know if you have any other commentary on boxing. I know that there's another fight coming up besides Holyfield versus both Roy Jones Jr. versus Bernard Hopkins, which I didn't do the press conference call for. Could have, but I didn't make it onto the call. But
maybe I would have, but I was talking for my business, people involved with my work, but I didn't do that.
Fighting.
Jamie Jar versus Tim Means. Little Brian Kerr. If it wasn't for enemies, he'd have no friends.
Right up by the chin and the left hand to the chest. Right off the bat, I can tell it's wrong.
Which, it's not good every two times as much of a pretty boy.
Well, pretty Michelle loves him.
Definitely it's focused on her. March 19th, he was spotted at Beverly Hills Boxing Gym, where he's sparred in the ring with a trainer. So there you go. He's in fighting shape. He's going to fight for his hot wife.
Yeah, right.
Probably always getting passes made at her. He's going to pop one guy in the face some night. Boxing talent. But that's it. That's all I got. That's my whole arsenal. It's got 10 minutes left in the show.
I'm watching a funny video that returns from Chris Hardcore's on there. Although it's one of the kick blockade that I was talking about earlier. It wouldn't work out. You know, it's sticking around the whole time. I think getting hit with a body shot. I'm
sorry, I'm fine. Yeah, did you watch the John Scully riot?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You gotta watch that. That's awesome. John Scully goes to riot. He won the fight, but the other kid caused the riot. So technically, he caused the riot because he won. And he was like talking smack after the other kid was there, and he escorted him out of the ring. Heckling him on the way out. That's funny. But anyway, that's all we have this week. Until next week, we should have maybe some more boxers on this Battle of the Badges card on, or we might even have some KHFX people to talk about their successful show, which I'm sure is going to be next Friday, I guess their show. So maybe they'll have somebody to talk from there, somebody from the undercard. We got the big heavyweight, somebody who's always got to go with Warcraft versus B on April 3rd, so keep an eye out for information on that. Okay, okay, tickets go get them. It's going to be in Mansfield. And, of course, you know, check out the website for updates on all your combat sports news. I'm going to be updating that. By the time the show is live here, there'll be a whole new set of stories on the blog. You can go to cagefx.com, battleofthebadges.info for more information on those two. And go to the Facebook Bravest Boxing page to learn more about the New York Fire Department boxing team. And look forward to extending that rivalry. They won the last time, so Lindland's going to represent this time. They're 14. They went ahead 14-13, I think, with the New York Fire Department versus New York Police. But they can either go 2-0 on us or 1-1. We'll see. We can create a tie or give them a big advantage going into the third one. Alright, that's it. That's all she wrote.
Alright, well, I will talk to you next week. I'm staying in tomorrow night, you know, I have an early morning flight on Saturday, so I'm going to catch my shuttle at like 7:30. So tomorrow night while I'm in, I'll get a flight on. I can work on my Hopkins Jones article because I've been pushing it back every night this week.
Don't work too hard because, you know, they haven't been. Couple old guys fighting each other. They've been sniping back and forth at each other pretty well, like they're staying on the
I know, that's why I'm really going to be at the press conference.
Yeah, they'll have other ones. So that's, I don't know how interesting that fight's going to be. I mean, obviously there's kind of a disastrous loss for Jones in his last fight. That, you know, looked like maybe this Hopkins fight wasn't going to happen. But maybe there's just enough fighting left in him and the animosity between the two, and it will be a good fight. We'll never know.
Remember, this fall, the Jones was 24 and Hopkins was 28, and what was that good day? The styles they fight with, he's going to have a style that's going to be tough for Hopkins, because they know Hopkins will knock him out like 5 rounds. No, I don't see it happening. I see it going pretty much.
And it's just passed off. Jones, you know, like you say, looking at punch from there. Again, that's just too late. You know, we can definitely see. All right. Well, I'll talk to you next week.
Sure.
All right, I'm looking at